Welcome to another episode of International Voices, a podcast highlighting the backgrounds and experiences of international students studying in the United States. This is episode 3. My name is John, and we have yet another outstanding international student in the office slash studio this afternoon. Mr. Newman Conti,
yes.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's great to have you here.
It's good to be here.
So Newman is a freshman from the country of Mali. Where is Mali?
Mali is in West Africa.
Okay. Yeah. And you're studying business, correct?
Yes.
Good decision. All right. Well, we're excited to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I saw Newman walking down the halls this afternoon in the student center. And I swear, I think you know probably 90% of the people in this building. It seems like it.
Well, it's not about people knowing about me. It's about me knowing people so I can reach them and, you know, help them the best way I can. So that's part of me getting to know other people. And if you know people and you can find out what their needs are, so.
And if you see Newman on campus, I think you can see that approach in just about everyone. You can see Newman smile from about half a mile away. So anyway, I'm glad you're here, Newman. It's great to have you in the studio.
Thank you. I'm excited
to share some of your experiences and your story.
Thank you.
Great. So we just had a musical introduction. Can you tell us a little bit about the song we just heard?
Yes. This is a famous musician named Salif Keita from Mali. Salif was, you know, when a world best. He's known for like one of the best musicians in Africa, not just in Africa but around the world. So the reason I told you to look up Salif because he's famous, you know, his voice is good, and the song we kind of use for this episode is dedicated to Sunuya, and Sunuya is a person that suffered a lot, and this song is dedicated to him so he can dance with this song.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Newman sent that song to me yesterday, and I listened to about 6 or 7 of those songs in a row.
Wow!
I love him. Yeah. It's great. I was dancing in my office.
Oh, okay. I'm glad. I want to see some of the moves you created in your own.
That's why we're doing a podcast, so no one can see how bad I dance.
No, that's awesome. Malians are good dancers. It's a good, beautiful music in Mali. You know, you just listen to it. Just make your day right away.
I think we could all use some lessons in this office. Yes. So sometime you want to come in and show us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can show what I know.
So for the listeners, that artist, Salif Keita, is SalifKeita. And check him out on YouTube. I don't think you'll regret it. It's some really good music.
I highly recommend it, you know, especially when you're having a hard time, you know. Just jump into YouTube and type Salif and you'll be ready to go.
That's at least part of the secret to happiness, right?
Yes.
Good music?
It's good music, yes. Good music is a part of it, and also people around. I don't think I make people happy. People make me happy.
There you go.
Let's keep it that way.
Good philosophy.
Yeah.
All right, do you want to go ahead and get started?
Sure, yeah.
So listeners, just as always, I'm going to ask Newman some questions about his background and where he comes from, and also about his experience here in the United States and in Utah. And I'm really excited to share some of your experiences with the listeners.
Awesome.
All right, so first, can you describe your country and your hometown to the listeners?
Yeah, like I said, Salif is from Mali, West Africa, and I am from Mali, West Africa. I was born in a small village, northern Mali, the village name is Wulesebugu.
So Wulesebugu. Wulesebugu.
Yes, it's a very long name. A lot of people can't pronounce it, but that's okay. I was born in Wulesebugu, and my parents and my siblings all live there. Mali is a landlocked country, so meaning that we're not close to the ocean. It's a dry. It gets hot, especially now, so that's, you know, part of the reason. Reason I'm here now is because it's cold here in the city. So that's the weather about Mali, and yeah, that's pretty much it.
How big is your village? How many people live there?
Well, it's pretty big. You know, it's a big community, but each community have a. City, so there's 44 villages, but Wulesebugu is where the mayor live, where there's big hospitals and schools, so where people can, you know, there's a big market where people can come and sell their goods and, you know, get the good stuff and back to the village. You know, it's like a farmer, so usually farmers like to be near to their farm because they can, you know, work all day and don't worry about, oh, to get home and stuff.
So it's kind of like the population center of bigger community.
Yeah, I would say more than 13,000. Mm-hmm. Yeah, nice. Living in Wulesebugu.
Can you tell us about your family?
Yes, I have a really big family. my dad is married two wives. I'm a first wife, a son. I have 20 brothers and sisters, including my stepmom, my second mom.
20
yeah,
brothers 20, and sisters?
Yeah, 20 brothers
so
and sisters.
So you're 21, counting you?
Yes, I am a 21, counting me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where do you, in age, where are you?
I am number four.
I'm fourth oldest.
Okay. So I have a lot of younger brothers and sisters, and sometimes when I want to chill, I just go to my friend's house.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you just keep it, hey, stop this, stop doing this, hey, just shut, you know, just listen to each other and stuff. So you always, you know, leading, you always telling them what to do and stuff, and I don't want to be that. I want to embrace. And, you know, we all grew up as kids. You know, we're no kids, so I get it.
So it's probably hard to find relaxing alone time at home?
Yes, because kids, no matter what is going on, they have something going on in their own, and that's important to them. If it's not important to a person who's watching or they're doing it, bye. So you, it's challenging sometimes, but I can't hate. That's, I just talk, you know, I like to understand and stuff. So I don't slap them or I don't get mad. I just get, you know, the sense of understand it and live it with it.
I only have one brother and one sister.
Wow.
And I found when I was younger that it was hard for me to find alone time. I can't imagine with 20.
Yeah, it's a lot of work, but it's good. You know, we all love each other. We all enjoy being to each other, you know, being together, I mean. And, you know, we just help our, you know, parents and, yeah, let's watch each other grow.
How big is your house at home? Do you have multiple houses?
Yes, we have a multiple house. So if you get older, you can build a house. And, you know, we have a big property, you know, we build small houses around, but when it's time to dinner time, you know, when it's time to eat, we all come together and we share, you know, meals and stuff.
So when you were growing up, how many of your brothers and sisters did you share a bedroom with?
I didn't share a bedroom with any of them.
You had your own?
Yes, I had my own, and I invited my friend over, so, and I shared it with my my friend instead of my brothers. And that was because they don't want to, like to study at night, and they don't want to bother me, so they just decided, you know, to go somewhere else, and then that's how I got my own room.
The benefits of being a good student.
Good.
Right?
Yep.
One of many benefits.
I try to be a good student even today. So.
Are all your family members, are they in Mali? Or any of them here in the United States?
All of them are in Mali.
They're all in Mali.
Yes. Wow. They're all in Mali. Missing me deeply.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. What do you miss most about home?
Well, of course, I miss my family. And I miss being just in Mali, you know, the culture, all the dancing, all the parties. I miss all of those. So I miss most of the people and the food, and I also miss my family. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Utah parties just aren't quite as vibrant as West African parties.
You know, let me tell you this. My first party I went to in Utah, people were just, you know, putting their hands up in the air and moving around and just making some sort of noises. And I was like, this is dance? And that was it. People don't dance here. They just jump. So I was like, whoa, we got to figure out something else. Let me show you in my country how we dance at parties. You know, and they were amazed by that. My friends were amazed by that. They said, this is how we dance. We don't jump around. Each song has its own way to dance. But every song jumping, that's no fun.
We need you to show us how to party.
Well
not will you be our party leader?
I won't be showing you how to party, but I like to share what I, you know, what I grew up with, you know, and what I know about my culture. And if that's okay for anybody out there and to join me, yes, of course, we can have a good time.
Absolutely. I'm in. Listeners out there, if you're interested, let me know.
Yes, I'll be available.
for a Mali-style party.
Yes.
Great. As I mentioned in our last episode, it's international students always mention they miss their family, they miss their friends, and they miss the food. And I think that's what you echoed as well. Right?
Yes.
Can you tell us about food in Mali? What's some typical
food? Well, typical food is chicken and rice. Mm-hmm. So I like to eat the chicken and the rice. But we cook rice, you know, in different ways. And we also have a different sauce of rice. So there's all the kinds of way, you know, you can make rice, and, you know, really delicious.
It's amazing how many countries in the world their typical dish is chicken and rice, but there's so many different ways to prepare it, right?
Absolutely.
So I've never had chicken and rice from Mali.
Well, we got some students here at SUU from West Africa, so it's kind of similar style, especially girls. So sometime in our African club meeting, you know, they will just, you know, cook for us, and then we just share that. So that's pretty good.
And it's pretty similar.
Yeah,
and
it's pretty similar. So if you have a time, you know, you can join us at one of our meetings, and you get to test that for sure.
I'm there. Next time you have a meeting, you let me know.
I'll give you a call.
All right.
Yes.
You know where my office is.
Oh, yep, I do.
We have lots of students from Côte d'Ivoire,
mm-hmm.
Ivory Coast, as it's often known. Would you say that the food in Ivory Coast is similar?
It's similar, yes. We share kind of the similar ingredient,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, a similar way to cook. So it will probably taste a little bit different, you know, from Mali. And I don't know, maybe that's just a hand, whoever cook it, or that's how you know, what they put first and then next, but, you know, it's pretty similar.
Sure.
Yeah.
Are those countries really close together? Are they're bordering?
Mm-hmm. Ivory Coast and Mali, the border, so mm-hmm. we're just next, you know, mm-hmm. each other, so.
I found something that was really interesting when I was researching Mali, and mm-hmm. that's that Mali is bigger than the size of Texas.
Yes.
And I had no idea. I know that I'd looked at Mali on the map before, but I guess I didn't realize it was so big.
Yeah, it's so big, and the population is growing. There's 14 million people living there right now, and we have the seventh biggest growing city in Mali, which is Bamako, the capital city of Mali. So, and it's the second largest growing city in Africa.
Wow.
So a lot of people, you know, Bamako is just like, oh my goodness. Yeah.
How do you know how big the capital city
the
is?
The capital, no really. Hmm. Yeah, it's pretty big.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I realized when I was preparing that I know very little about Mali.
Yeah,
so that's part of the reason I'm so excited to have you here is because I have so many questions. I'm interested.
Yeah, I love questions because I think one of the things I learned about, you know, in my humanity class about the Greek people, to learn it was to ask questions. So I'm glad you're asking really good questions. So thank you for that.
Absolutely. The only dumb questions are the ones you don't ask, right? Sometimes I tell myself that because I realize that some of the questions I ask might be a little bit stupid.
No.
Better than not asking at all.
No,
right?
Question is stupid when it comes to purpose of learning. And I think that's very important. You know, if you're curious about something or you wonder something and you say something, and then I feel like you are... you have a better chance to get, you know, to learn something about that particular thing you have in your mind.
You sound like a professor. Any interest in going into higher ed?
Well, I've been going to SEU for 6 semesters, so don't wonder why.
He's taking a few classes.
Yeah, I'm taking a few classes.
I'll tell your professors.
Yes.
I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
So tell us, when did you first come to the United States?
I came to the U.S. 2012, mm-hmm. August 21st.
You remember the day?
Yes, I do remember the day. It was fun.
It was fun?
Exhausting, yes.
Where did you arrive first?
Salt Lake City.
Okay.
Yes. Oh, actually New York, I forgot, actually. I can't forget a big city. It was in New York.
How did that feel, being in the United States for the first time?
For the first time, you know, human curiosity is in everybody. So I was really curious, you know, see people, see buildings, like, where I was always looking, not much talking, just looking. So that's what I did, you know, shocking about the buildings and, you know, the people, how they react, you know. It was just amazing, you know. I felt so good. Yeah.
And you were you all by yourself when you
I
came
was
in?
By myself, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then, so you came to Salt Lake,
mm-hmm.
and you were coming to, because you came here and that's almost 5 years ago. Now.
Yes.
What were you were studying in high school, right?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I went to international boarding school called Wasatch Academy in central Utah. It's one of the top private high school in the country. So I was, you know, very fortunate to be in that environment.
How did you end up at Wasatch? How did that happen?
Well, in Mali, I left my family for the purpose of education. You know, in my entire life, I just want to learn and be in school and, you know, just be an educator. So one thing that led me to leave my family in Mali, and then I met somebody in Mali who was the mayor in Willisibugu, Yesamake, and he actually went to BYU. So we were close, and I was like a son to him. He said, I'm going to find a school you kind of really like, because every time I see you, you learning something, you explain somebody something. It's amazing. So let me get you something even better. And he didn't tell me he's going to, you know, send me here in America. But he just said, you know, I've been thinking about you and see what I can do for you. So, and things happen, you know. And then that's how I came to the U.S.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
How did that feel when you first heard that you had the opportunity? Do you remember that moment when,
yes,
when he told you you were coming to the
United States? I was quiet because it is unknown in journey. I didn't know what to expect, you know. So I just threw myself at this, you know, said, okay, whatever I end up, that's the right place for me. So that's how I came.
And that's the best kind of attitude to have in a situation like that, right? Mm-hmm. It's just to not know what to expect, to be ready,
right? Yeah,
for whatever comes.
Especially if you want something, you know, you gotta work for it, you gotta be willing, you gotta persevere, you have to be courageous, you know, you gotta just keep it up and going through it, you know. It's, you know, one day at a time, you know, one step at a time.
Newman, you're motivating me just in this conversation. I'm ready to go do something crazy.
You always doing something. I've seen you working all the time, so I'm mad at you about that.
That's true. I feel like I'm ready for another adventure abroad sometime soon. I got some trips coming up.
You work pretty hard.
I do. We do here, but you know, it really is incredibly rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the reward for me is encountering people like you and like our other international students who honestly have taken such an incredible leap. Just the fact that you're here is what I tell almost every international student, is that just the fact that you're here shows to me that you're incredibly brave and that you've already succeeded.
Absolutely. You know, I want to say this to all the international students. You know, there's a reason, there's a purpose of us to be here. No matter what country you're from, as you go to school anywhere in the U.S., you got something to show in the world. You got something to share. And with that, I see that in myself, and I see to especially student, international students here at SUU. So we just have to keep going.
Absolutely, and that's what we want to teach everybody, is that the diversity and the experience and the opinions and the different cultures that international students bring to a campus make it such a strong, so much stronger and such a better educational environment for everybody.
Absolutely.
And there are incredible challenges with coming to the United States, but just the fact that students decide to come here and they come here, to me, shows that they're incredibly brave and that they have a lot of reasons to be proud of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that because, you know, from my experience, it haven't been easy. And I don't want it to be easy. You know, every day is getting harder. And I'm just learning and I'm just, you know, improving myself, you know, and it's just coming great.
Those challenges are what inspire you to mm-hmm. adapt and to grow.
Yes.
Right? They're growing opportunities, and sometimes they're painful, but amazing growth comes out of that, right?
Oh, yes.
And it's so great for me to hear you say that, because I think you have such a fantastic outlook on life in general.
All right.
And I think that's part of your magnetism as an individual, honestly, is that you have that perspective and you have that attitude, and it's like, it's contagious.
Well, I've been there, you know, I've been there, and I think from that perspective, I can, you know, share that to other people, and other people see that as an amazing story. You know, I did not dress up like I did. I did it today, you know. I didn't have those, and now I can dress up nicely and fine. So, you know, it never come easy. And every day is just its own, like, I feel like a life is just something. Like, every day is a new chapter. I decide to come chat with you today, I'm here. And after this, I might go somewhere else. You know, I might go do something else. So there's always something going on. And sometimes there's a downtime, there's uptime, but having ability inside of yourself, yes, I'm going to make it no matter what it comes into my way.
Such a great attitude. You're writing that book every day you go, right?
Exactly. New chapter.
By the way, you guys can't see Newman because you're just listening to us, but he's in a very sharp red, a very stylish red shirt right now for Red Fridays here on SUU's campus.
Well, if you come into somebody important like John's office, you gotta look nice, you know, and that's what I did.
The irony here is that I'm wearing a red t-shirt and jeans today.
Well, it's Friday, and we like to, as a CU student body, we like to share a show our school spirit. So
we represent the T-Birds.
Yeah, the T-Birds of Fridays, yeah.
Newman, so you were talking about when you first came here. What were some of the challenges that you faced when you first arrived?
The culture and the language, you know, I'm still figuring out how to speak English professionally. So hopefully by the time I graduate from SUU, I will have a better English and return back to Africa.
How was your English when you arrived?
When I came, I didn't speak any English.
At all?
At all. I was deaf person. Unless somebody speak French or some of the African languages I speak.
So right from the beginning,
were
using sign language?
Yeah, I think I mentioned this before, no much talking, but just looking, eye contact, and, you know, shake hands, that's it.
Yeah. Smiling?
Probably, yes.
So how did you enroll in English classes then when you were in high school?
I took ESL, and then I went to higher English class. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what other cultural challenges were there? Can you think of specific differences that kind of challenged you when you first got here?
Yes. Well, just knowing somebody closer to, and especially I don't speak the language, was difficult for me to find, because I always, you know, everywhere I go, there's somebody I'm very close to, and that's here in SU. And, you know, I'm closer to you. I can talk to you about anything. You know, it's kind of hard as a young age to find those and build the trust and build those relationships. So I had a hard time to find that. And I think the reason was because of the language, because the language help us so much bigger, you know, to connect to each other and understand each other's view of things.
Were there other students from Mali in your high school?
Yes.
Any other students from West Africa?
There were two students from Mali, and I was one of them, and just one other student, girl, she was from Bamako, the capital city of Mali. So we kind of talk sometimes at Bambara, and sometimes she will be my interpreter. You know, what people want to talk to me, people want to approach me, but what can I say back to them? So that was really difficult for me. So I always study, always trying to speak English, you know, like force it, you know, no matter I'm saying it wrong or right. And then eventually I've gotten better.
You mentioned Bambara?
Yes.
Is that your native language?
That's my native language.
How many languages do you speak?
I speak five languages.
Five languages.
Yes.
I'm very envious. I'm at about, I would say, 2 3/4 mm-hmm. is what I give myself. Mm-hmm. I know parts of several languages, but not enough to use them. So what languages? Bambara?
Bambara, French, Arabic, Swahili, and Fulani.
Wow, Fulani?
Yes.
What is that? Is that a tribal language?
Yes, that's all of these are tribal. In Mali, there's 27 languages. You know, so it, anytime you move around in Mali, you have the opportunity to get closer to somebody that can teach you the culture, the custom, the tradition, and the language. So I had that opportunity as I move around chasing my path and to go to school.
Are those tribal languages, are they similar? Like, can you understand some if you know Bambara? Can you understand some other language?
Bambara and Swahili are a little bit similar, but Bambara is not similar to Fulani. Absolutely, yeah. And Bambara also, we use some French word, Bambara. We say it, there's a word for it in Bambara, but you know, it's modern world, people like the new, and they just take a French word and plug that in and then make a phrase.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Can you give us an example of Bambara?
Yeah.
Can you introduce yourself in Bambara?
Ne tokoy Numa, nebe bo Malila, nebe kalana sisa, Sadra Utah.
What does that mean?
Well, I just said, my name is Newman, I'm from Mali, and I go to school here in Southern Utah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
We don't have Bambara classes yet here, but
I'll be willing to teach if you want to take a class and then
why not?
Yeah.
We'll add parts of Bambara to Bambara. My mix of languages. Very
it's
cool.
It's coolest language. It's also spoken in Agrikos, you know, because we are neighbor and people travel around, and because of that, the commerce people use it a lot. And if you go to Agrikos for, you know, stay there for a while and you come to Mali, exchange, you know, they pick it up a language pretty fast.
Is that the official language of Mali? Is there a common language for commerce?
Mm-hmm.
Is that Bambara?
Yes, that's Bambara, yes.
Great.
But the official language in Mali is the French.
Okay. Yes. I'll have to practice a little bit of all those before I go visit Mali. So how did you hear about SUU?
Well, like I said before, I went to a boarding school here, high school. And then I was involved in a lot of things, speech and debate, cross country. So I came around here at SUU, and it was a high school meet. And I did really well. And then we were bus driving, and I kind of scrolled down the window and I look at the campus, you know, see the sign in Southern Utah, SCU, and I said, wow, I'm gonna keep it in my mind, you know, this place might be interesting. So, and
it was love at first sight, huh?
Here I am.
I remember the first time that you called our office.
Yes.
You remember that?
I do.
I remember you called, and I think you were asking about housing. Were you?
Mm-hmm.
About housing?
Housing.
And I just remember we had a conversation on the phone for probably 15 minutes. And I just thought, man, that guy sounds so cool. I'm so glad he's coming here. And look, here you are.
Yes, I am.
It's great to see that kind of coming full circle.
Yes.
Because that was actually right when I had started here. I'd only been here for about, probably about a couple months, because I started last April.
Oh.
So I was still new to SUU.
Wow.
Yeah. My story isn't as great as
well. You were so helpful, you know. That time the summer, I, you know, contacting you for email and calls. You know, thank you for answering those. That's awesome. You know,
you were making me feel useful, because up until that time, I felt like I didn't know what I was doing.
Wow.
So.
Well, if it wasn't you, I don't think I would have come.
I'll take credit for that.
Yes, of course.
Give myself a pat on the back there. No, we're obviously thrilled that you're here. You're a true T-Bird, man, for sure. What do you think was the most difficult aspect after you had kind of gotten over the culture shock?
Mm-hmm.
Were there other difficulties that you encountered here?
Well, yes. Like I said before, relationship with people, and also, in Mali, everybody's doors are open, especially for strangers. And here in America, some of the families' doors close. You know, you have to ring a bell, or you have to call several times in order to come, you know, family and have fun with kids and stuff. But so that was different. And I think what I know most about myself, I'm a people person. You know, people are very matter to me and very important. Everybody, no matter who you are or where you're from. So I found that challenging. So I gotta step back. You know, I don't know anybody to go to and just feel myself home and, you know, feel good about being in the country. So that was challenging for me.
I've noticed in my travels that I've been to a lot of places where there's a deep sense of community and togetherness. Yeah. And I noticed that in particular in Guatemala was one of the places I noticed that, which Guatemala is one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. Mm-hmm. But I noticed this overwhelming sense of community and of happiness. People were just incredibly happy. And I think that there's something in America, we're so concerned about the individual. And I think that when you mentioned closed doors here, that's kind of like a metaphor, right?
Yes.
And where I think that there's something that in a lot of places that's missing here is that sense of deep sense of community and supporting one another and knowing our neighbor and relying on our neighbor, right? And that's something I've really seen in a lot of places and really admired. And I've come back to America and thought, huh, why don't we have that here? But I can surely understand that that's something, if you're used to that sense of community, coming here and saying, I don't even know my neighbor.
Right. In Mali, I would say my parents helped me, you know, in so many different ways. They teach me a lot of life lesson that I cannot learn from school or through book. But I think I was raised by my family, but I also can proudly say that I was raised by my village, because they really, you see humanities to each and everyone, especially the young people. You see it, you don't have to look for it. As soon as you get out of the airport and take that train or bus to my town, you see that for people. And those, some of those people don't have a breakfast. You know, we don't, like you said, so many people are concerned about themselves and not open up a relationship. You know, we're just human. You come by human and you go by human. If I get sick, you know, or I die, people have to do it. I can't do nothing. And that's for everybody.
Part of life, right?
Yes.
Yeah. We're all humans, right? Right. We're all going through a similar similar experience. Do you feel a sense of responsibility, like for representing your village here, or do you feel like you have expectations from your family or for your village?
Yes. I think how can I put this together? It's like I feel responsible for not just my family or my village or my country, but the world. This world is about our generation and the future generation. And so every day I feel like, oh, I should do something for somebody else. You know, that will make that person's life better. Because now I'm not in Mali, now I'm not in my family. It is my responsibility to be service in my own, and I can do that everywhere. So I am responsible for my actions, and I'm responsible for what I, you know, kind of what I do, basically. Because, you know, you this kind of hard for, I haven't reviewed my book before I came in, but I'm just saying this stuff in my head. I don't memorize this stuff things, but I think I'm just responsible for my service. I've just put and I can do my service anywhere. Don't have to look Wi-Fi. or have a computer or have a, you know, I can, and it can be small or large.
Absolutely. I think that that's such a powerful sentiment and such a vision of transformation, right? Of what we want to see in this world. It's great. I'm glad you shared that. Did you have any ideas before you came to America that were changed when you came here? Like your ideas of America. Did you have any misconceptions?
Yes.
What did you imagine America to be?
I was like, well, people don't walk. That's almost closed today. A lot of people don't work. You know, I always keep in my, telling my friend, I'm not taking an elevator. You gotta follow me. We're not taking it. Let's get those exercise done. And I also was like, everybody is rich. You know, I thought about that. I also felt like people don't get sweat here.
Really?
Yes. So when I joined the cross country, some of my running mates, they were sweating like me. And I was like, oh, okay. So that taker is self up right there. Mm-hmm. So it was funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's probably not as hot as in Mali, though, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
I'm imagining.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. In really Mali, you gotta take a lot of showers to cool yourself down.
Sure. So I have a few questions from some of my friends who have wanted to get your feedback on a few things, okay? So my good friend Molly, who lives in Denver, she wants to know, what is the biggest misconception about Mali or about West Africa?
Well, in my opinion, I would say the biggest conception is culturally homogeneous.
Mm-hmm. I can't even say it. Homogeneous culture.
Homogeneous culture.
Right.
You know, Africa is 52 countries, and there's almost 3,000 languages, you know, everywhere. So we know same, you know, this. Like it's like in America, each state has its own rule, each state has its own like accents or dialect, or it's just like that. So Africa is not just one country or, you know, same people. And a lot of people, what I really noticed this here, they think Africa is just a country, no, a continent, you know, but it is a continent.
That's a real, you know, facepalm moment. Yeah. Like when I hear that on the news, when people say, they'll just refer to Africa and like they kind of do it with this broad sweeping stroke, like, oh, in Africa. And I think, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know, because so, you're right. There's so many different cultures.
There's so many different cultures and languages. And some of the places are hot. Some of the places are cool. It snows somewhere. It doesn't snow somewhere.
You know. There's snow in Africa.
Yeah.
There's mountains there,
South
right?
Africa is, they get winter.
Right.
Yeah. So that's something that we have to be mindful and, you know, really know about it.
Do you think there's any misconceptions about, like, people from Mali or people from West Africa?
Yes. The misconception would probably be, in my opinion, people said, oh, Mali is just the poorest country in the world. So a lot of people pick that so quickly. You know, they think, oh, if you're from Africa, you're in trouble. You know, and, no, it's not like that. Yeah, there's poor people everywhere in the world. That's why we're trying to improve this world, you know, help one another. But the entire country, no, that's, we got some wealthy people also, and we got some good resources that, you know, the countries we thinking that are wealthy or rich, using those resources and making that country rich. But I think Africa just need to step out to leadership and figure it out what can we do ourselves from the most.
To help the people of mm-hmm. their country.
Yes.
Good, I like we're fighting these stereotypes.
Yes, yeah.
One conversation at a time, right?
One conversation at a time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
My friend Kenji in Hawaii wants to know. He says, what's the recipe for your brilliant smile?
Oh, I think she's the recipe of the brilliant smile. Yeah, you should write her and say, Newman said you are the recipe of the brilliant smile.
It's actually, Kenji's he's my guy friend. He's someone that I met when I was in Japan teaching.
Oh, wow.
But I posted a picture of you on Instagram. He noticed the smile. So tell me, why do you smile so much, Newman?
Wow, that's a tough question, you know. I don't even know. Maybe it's just part of, being Newman, being myself. I feel good being wherever I am, you know. No matter it's a bad place or a good place. Because I'm not afraid to die. I just, when I see people doing good things and, you know, see people I can say hi to, you know, just small things. So I think people are the recipe of the brilliant smile.
Good.
Yeah.
Never stop smiling. Keep flashing that all around campus. Yeah. It really is. I think you have just a great outlook on life, and it's a very positive one, and I think we have a choice what we want to focus on in life, and I think happiness is a choice.
It is a choice. You know, I choose to be happy every day, and make it somebody else happy, you know, if it's keeping out, we're making the world to be happy. We don't want wars and whatever going on in our life, but just be happy. It's okay. You know, we can work at it.
There you go. That's Chef Newman's recipe for a great smile. Awesome. All right, Newman. The time has come for my new favorite game.
Okay.
Which is, this is a game similar to the one that was played on episode 1 with Jessica. It's called Town in Utah or 2017 Grammy Winner. So did you watch the Grammy Awards?
A little bit. Less. A little bit.
You watched more than I watched because I just found all of these answers on Google.
Google.
Okay? Okay. So I am going to read you a word, uh-huh. And it's either going to be the name of a town in Utah or an award winner from the Grammys this year. Okay, and you have to guess.
This is very challenging.
We have 6 of them for you, okay?
Okay.
So go ahead and flip that first card whenever you're ready.
Okay.
So the first one is Flume.
Flume.
Do you think that's a town or a Grammy winner?
A Grammy winner.
Bing! Good! Good. That's correct.
Yes.
Okay, 1 correct. Okay. Number 2 is Elmo.
Elmo. Grammy.
Sorry.
No.
Elmo.
Elmo, where is that in Utah?
Elmo is a tiny little town near Price. Do you know where Price is?
Yes.
Okay, it's near Price.
Near Price, okay. Mm-hmm.
Also the name of a Sesame Street character.
Okay.
Right? Next one, Mexican hat.
That's a Grammy.
Oh, Mexican, sorry.
Mexican hat? See,
Mexican hat. Is a town in southeast Utah. Guess how many people live in Mexican Hat?
Not very many.
You're correct.
Okay.
In 2010, 31 people lived in Mexican Hat.
They
might have more now. That was the most recent data.
Yeah. Well, that's wow. That's impressive.
So you're 1 for 3.
Okay.
Okay.
Not
great, but still got some time to make some up here, okay?
Okay.
Next one is Solange.
Solange. Solange, I will go with what is it called? Grammy?
Yes! Solange, she won the best R&B performance. She is Beyonce's sister.
Oh!
Yeah.
Impressive name, yeah.
Right? Okay, you're 2 for 4.
Okay.
Let's see, let's see, what is it? Next one. Barrel.
Town.
Yeah! Correct! Nice! That is a town just outside of Cedar City.
Yes!
Yeah, about 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last one. You ready?
Uh-huh.
Last one is Snarky Puppy.
Grammy.
Yes! There you go. Nice comeback.
Yes.
Snarky Puppy won the Best Contemporary Instrumental Album of 2017. Wow. I've actually listened to them a few times.
Yeah.
Okay. Great job, 4 out of 6.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You made an epic comeback there.
I did.
I was a little worried for a while now.
I'm a warrior, so I play like a, you know, making some comeback.
There you go. You're a fourth quarter man.
Yeah,
right?
Fourth quarter. Yeah.
Awesome. Newman, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your insights. It was a fascinating conversation, and I know that the listeners thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, John, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's great to see you, and it's great to chat with you all the time. You make me want to be a better man.
That's so nice to hear.
Let's do this more often.
We'll have a follow-up episode one of these days with Newman again.
Yes.
Hopefully, listeners, that you learned something about Molly.
Yes.
I know that I sure did. And if you see Newman in the halls at SUU, make sure you say hey. I'm sure you'll recognize him. Just look for that smile.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank the listeners for taking their time. If they have any question, they can reach you or myself. I'll be around if Southern Utah let me.
Absolutely. We're keeping you here for good, hopefully.
Yeah.
Listeners, you can follow International Voices on Facebook at facebook.com/INTL Voices Podcast. That's facebook.com/INTL Voices Podcast. I update the Facebook page with future guests and with the episodes, and you can always request sections or different questions for our guests. And any advice or feedback is always welcome. We also have an Instagram, and the Instagram handle is international_voices. Where I will announce who our future guests will be. Again, as I mentioned, any suggestions are encouraged. We're always looking to make the podcast more interesting and more relevant for listeners. Lastly, I had some fantastic podcast artwork done by my good friend Michael Turnbull, which you can see on our podcast site or on the Facebook page. Newman, once again, thanks for joining us. Listeners, thank you for listening, and we will have another episode for you next week.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care, listeners, and we will talk to you soon.